Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Just five letters, J-E-S-U-S. Not a long name, but somehow when we hear that name, it causes tremendous phrases to move across our mind and into our hearts. Phrases of love, and phrases of victory.
Yeah, yeah, man.
When you think about Jesus and what he's brought you through, Jesus. Somehow somebody says Jesus and you can't explain why tears start coming down
right,
from your eyes.
Right.
It's because you heard the word, but your mind went to where he's been bringing you through and bringing you out. Just Jesus. Not a long chapter, not even a long verse.
Yeah.
Just one word. This stirs up so much inside of us. Something special about Jesus. I'd like for you to turn your attention just a little while, if you would, to two portions of Scripture, both from the Gospel of Matthew, from the 4th chapter, verse 17, and then from the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 9. And the word says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in that 6th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse, it says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Mm-hmm. Listen, and lead us not into temptation, mm-hmm. but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to speak with you a little while this morning. A culture of righteousness in the kingdom of God. A culture of righteousness in the kingdom of God. Not long after Jesus had gone through his temptation and come back, there were several disciples. As a matter of fact, by this time he had collected all of the disciples together. And they were following him, and he wanted to teach them about what they needed to do and what they needed to be to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, if you will. He started teaching them. He started off with what we've come to know as the Beatitudes. And he went on after the Beatitudes to tell them about things that were going to be expected of them after they had gained that righteousness that they needed to have. And then he went on to say that your righteousness needs to be more than just what the Pharisees and scribes show. Your righteousness needs to be really from the heart is what he's going to tell them during the next few chapters. He goes on to say that, well, you know, you've seen the scriptures and you know what the Lord expects of you, but I want you to know that I'm not going to destroy a jot or tittle from all that Old Testament, because that's the will of God. But that's what he was letting them know. The way that you can know what God wants of you and what God expects from you is to go to the Old Testament.
Come on,
Jesus said that's the basis for righteousness. That's what he's letting us know. Living according to God's will. Not just the word. The word is Jesus himself. But what he's saying is if you look at the Old Testament, it'll let you know through all the things prophets said and all the things that are in the law, all of it, Jesus is the word, but somehow what he's saying is you need to look at the scriptures and you'll find that everything that's there is letting you know what I want from you.
Amen.
That's what the Lord wants of us. So living according to God's will, that's righteousness. Doing what God would have you to do, That's righteousness. Living and walking according to the will of God is righteousness. And we need to do that. He started also to tell them as he went through some of the scriptures and letting you know he hasn't removed a jot or tittle. Now, somebody might say, well, how many words are we talking about? Well, if you look at the Old Testament, depending on what version you're using, it's somewhere around 610 words, okay? Some of the scriptures by some of the writers are very long, and some are not very long. Obadiah is only 440 words, and the Jeremiah is 32,000 words. And as you go through, there are different lengths, but it didn't matter how many words there were or how many jots or how many tittles. Jesus said, I'm not going to change any of it. Because I want you to know that that's all for you. I want you to know that I want you to live according to that word. As a matter of fact, he took the scriptures and said, looking at some of them, take it to another level. Don't just do what the words say, but it needs to be done from your heart. In other words, some of the things you might be doing and you say, well, that's what the word says and I got it done. Well, no, he says some of the things that are there we need to take to the next level. One of the things he mentioned, he said, when you talk about adultery, you think, well, that's an act. Well, no, he said, if you think.
That's right, Pastor.
You're already committing adultery. Right. Murder. Mm-hmm. Don't have to do it. Thinking. He wanted us to know that somehow the words that are there, he not only supported what was there, was not going to get rid of what was there. We needed to look at what was there and have it in our heart and live in that way. Somehow it's not easy to live according to God's will, perhaps, but we need to work on trying to get there. As a matter of fact, the only way we can get there is to accept Jesus Christ and allow him to move in us and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us in order for us to get to the level where Jesus would have us to be. I'm talking about becoming righteous. If we're going to become parts of the kingdom of God, we need to recognize that we need to walk according to God's will. We need to live as God would have us to live. The Old Testament, you can't kick it aside and lay it aside. No, those words are there. Jesus is saying, do those things. So he started teaching his disciples and let them know that. He went through so many things to talk about the fact that you don't go out and serve God like as if you're in a way that you're really serving your friends and your loved ones. Don't go out and pray in such a way that everybody boasts about how good you pray or how well you can call on the Lord. No. And when you give your tithes, he tells them, don't do that in such a way that everybody sees you paying your tithes or giving your alms. He said, don't show off for somebody. Do it for the Lord. And when you're fasting, don't have a long face and look like you're suffering. So just go ahead and do what you got to do for the Lord. And if you're suffering, that's all right. But don't suffer in such a way that people say, that sure is a good man. He sure does serve the Lord. He sure does pray good. He sure does give. And he does all the things the Lord would have. He's a righteous man. Jesus said, no. It's got to be from the heart. He goes through the fifth and sixth and seventh chapter, and he's just talking about being righteous, living righteous, and it's from the heart. Not just with the word, but from the heart. So he was telling his disciples and letting them know as he was teaching here, I guess this might be, might call this righteousness 101. He went through the things that they needed to do, the way that they needed to live. But you know, he wasn't just telling them that for no reason at all. He was telling them that because they were going to be a part of the kingdom that was to come. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And you need to give up all those things that you were doing and live in such a way that you're walking according to my will. He went on to tell them that he wanted them, and this message is for the church, that this is the way we need to live. He was talking to his disciples. There were others there, and they were getting some strength from this as well, but this was for the disciples. They were going to be the center of those folks who are going to be a part of the kingdom. He was letting them know what they needed to do. He said, you are the light of the world. When you become a part of the kingdom, you are also the salt of the earth. He's let them know that there's something special about you. When you accept Jesus Christ and you live for Jesus Christ and you're walking and people know who you are, and they do know who you are. If you say, I'm a Christian, or you say, I'm a part of First Mount Olive Baptist Church, let me assure that people start watching you real close to see just what a Christian's going to do in certain situations. When problems occur, how does that Christian, that member of First Mount Olive Baptist Church, that one who says he's a part of the household of faith, that one who says he's a part of the kingdom, how do they handle this difficult situation? How do they handle it when they don't have all the money they need for that certain problem? How do they handle it when they find they're going through some situations that's a little more, a little heavier than they expected? How do they handle it? People are watching. If you said you were a part of a household of faith, if you said that you were a part of a church, somebody's going to be watching to see how church folks handle things. See how church folks live during difficult situations. Expect difficult situations. We're going to go through some. Expect problems. We're going to face some problems. But somehow when you face them, you need to face them with a recognition that you need to handle it with righteousness. Mm-hmm. Do it God's way. Do it according to God's will. What would God have me to do? And somehow you may say, well, I don't know exactly. Well, the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to train us, to educate us, to help us through those difficult times. If we pray to the Lord, sometimes we don't even know how to put it in the word. But the Holy Spirit is there to help us to get in touch and to help us to get the answers. The righteous folks, if you're going to be a part of the kingdom, you need to live like you're a part of the kingdom. If you're going to give yourself over to the Lord, you need to walk according to the will of the Lord. Walk according to his will. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom, that's going to be a part of my heart. You don't have to go try to find it somewhere. It's right here. It's right here among all of those who have made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. He's the Prince of Peace. He's my King. I'm a part of the kingdom. If you're going to be a part of the kingdom, you need to walk like you're a part of the kingdom. Walking like a part of the kingdom isn't putting on a show for somebody. There are a whole lot of folks who look like they're kingdom walkers here in church this morning. But that doesn't mean you're walking according to the will. Somebody might think that you're doing all that you need to do, walking as you ought to walk. But you know whether you're really living as God would have you to live, taking that precious walk, that righteous walk, as the Lord would have you to go. So Jesus said to the disciples, now you're going to be a part of my kingdom, is what he's really letting them know. You're going to be a part of the kingdom of God. And as that, people are going to be looking at you. In other words, you're going to be the light of the world. People are going to look at you, the way you walk, the way that you live, and somehow those who watch you, many will emulate. Many will try to be more like you, try to walk as you're walking. Something special about having people to look at you. I don't mind people watching me. Maybe that'll keep me from stumbling so much because I know I'm being watched. But I really want to walk because the Lord is watching me. I really want to live because I know the Lord sees what nobody else sees. But somehow the people who look upon you need to be able to see something special. And see, by living the way that you live, God blesses you with ways out of difficult times. God blesses you through the situations that you're in. Somehow you need to be the light of the world. People need to look at you and your life and your lifestyle and say, somehow that's the way that I want to live. I want to be close to the God of the universe, just like Reverend Jasper is. I know how he lives and I know how he walks, and somehow I just want to be that way. I want to walk that way. That's the way all of us. You don't just need to be in the pulpit to think people are going to watching you. People are going to watch you just because you say I'm a part of the, I'm on the Lord's side. I love the Lord. Well, you're going to be watched. How do those who love the Lord walk, and how do those who love the Lord live? But you know, he said more than that. You're the light of the world. But he also said that you're the salt of the earth. You who are walking righteously, you who are part of the kingdom, somehow you're not only the light of the world, but you're the salt of the earth. And depending on which version of scripture you read, King James, I love that because he says what I think God really meant, what the Lord really meant. Uh-huh. He said, if the salt has lost its savor, Now you eat somewhere else, it's lost its taste, lost its flavor. But savor, you say, well, that's really, savor is not really a word. Savor is that kind of word for that. It's not that kind of verb. Savor means if you, it's something good and you spend some time enjoying it. Savor it.
Yes,
you spend some time with it. That's what that's about, to savor. But here they said salt has lost its savor. Well, somehow we need to look at how that can possibly fit in there. How can that possibly be savor? Because salt, I've said this before, salt brings out the best.
All right now.
So if you are walking according to God's will, somehow the people whose lives you touch, the people who you're around, you bring the best out of them. If you're that salt, you bring out the best. You bring the best out of all that you're around. You talk to them about their situations and you help them to see a better way. You bring them through. You're the salt. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. When you talk about salt, some folks go, oh, yeah, salt. That means that you put it on and it'll keep for a long time. Well, Jesus wasn't talking about that. No. And some say, well, you know, if you put it on the ground and it'll melt the snow. Well, Jesus wasn't talking about that. Somebody will say, well, at Easter time, if you're boiling some eggs, put some salt in the water, and it'll raise the boiling temperature, and so the water won't boil, and so the eggs won't crack. But Jesus wasn't talking about it changing the density of the water or the freezing point or boiling point of the water. He wasn't talking about it keeping things. He was talking about salt bringing out the best. It brings that. It's not one of those flavors. Say, well, I want some salt. So you put some in your hand. It's great taste. No. Salt isn't one of those things. Well, some folks do. But salt is something that you put on something to bring the best out. Christians, those who are part of the kingdom, are folks who make the best out of their situations and bring the best out of the situations that those who are around them go. Bring out the best. Make somebody better just by talking to them about the Lord. Make somebody better by letting them know that what they're going through, you've been through it. And if they'll just hold on, God will bring them through it. He wants us to be the light of the world so people can look at us and say, I want to be like that. But he wants us to be the salt of the earth because he wants us to bring out the best in those who we touch. Something about bringing out the best. Something about doing what the Lord would have us to do. He wants us to be special so that people know they can come to us during their difficult times. Because somehow not only are we going to pray for them and pray with them, but we're going to help them to know and help them to see how the Lord can and the Lord will bring them through and bring them out. You're the light of the world. People are going to watch you walk in such a way that people will say that's the way God's people do. And that's the way God's people need to walk. But also be the salt of the earth so that those who need something or going through something will find that you're somebody who can help them through those difficult times. Bring out the best. Bring out the best. Bring out the best. You know, as we come to homecoming, I know some folks have been off and they're back again. And I'm so glad to see you here. And I can't help but think that while you were away, if you were not here, maybe you mentioned that you were a part of the First Mount Olive Baptist Church or spent some time there. And somehow they'll ask you about what the Lord has done for you. And you can't help but open up and testify about what he's done. I'm sure I can't help but think that somebody who's here, who has been away, has been the salt for somebody who was going through something. Somebody who was here brought the word to somebody, and now they come back. You can testify now about how you helped somebody through. We don't need the testimony right now, but I can't help but down in your heart, you're thinking, I've helped somebody. I taught somebody. I walked with somebody. I was salt for somebody. So good to know that we who are a part of the household of faith are also a part of the kingdom. And as part of the kingdom, we have things that we need to do for the Lord. We need to be that light that brings folks to the Lord. And we need to be that salt that helps people through their difficult times and brings the best out of every situation. Don't know what you might have done while you were away. So glad you're back home again. Don't know who you might have touched. So glad you're back home again. Don't know what you may have done while you were away. But we're just glad that you're back home again. But you know, no matter how far you went, you may not have been here in this household of faith, but somehow those who have accepted Jesus Christ and have him on the inside, you never were away from the kingdom of God. You're in his kingdom wherever you go. You're in his kingdom, avoiding the kingdom of darkness and walking in the kingdom of light. So glad that wherever you went, even though you're already in the kingdom of God, we're glad that you came to be in the household of faith on this day. Welcome home. Welcome back. Don't know who you touched. Don't know whose life you changed. Don't know who you may have brought through and out of a difficult situation. I'm just glad that you're a part of the household of faith. I'm glad that you're a part of us on this day as we celebrate our homecoming. Good to come home. Good to share love. Good to talk with one another about what we've been through. Good to look back and reflect how God has been bringing us through over and over again. It's good to have everybody here at home. Welcome home. Welcome home. Hope this homecoming day is special and beautiful for you. I'm just glad that not only are you a part of this family, I'm glad that you're a part of the kingdom of God. Let's talk to God. Our Father and our loving God. Father, we realize that somehow by living and walking in righteousness, we have become part of you. We have become a part of the kingdom. And we're so glad, Father, that we don't mind people looking at us and knowing we're a part of the kingdom. As a matter of fact, we want to let people know that the way that I'm walking and the way that I'm living is according to God's will. But Father, we just ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ that all of us recognize that no matter how much we've grown and no matter how much we may love you, Lord, and how much may we try to walk in your will, somehow we still need to continue to grow. Because somehow it seems that no matter how strong we are and no matter how much we've grown in the Lord, there's still more that you would have us to do. You would have our hearts to be filled with more love. You would have us to have a stronger faith. You would have us to be able to reach out with more love and tenderness and to handle situations in difficulties in different ways. So help us, Father, to realize that no matter how strong we might feel we are, no matter how blessed we may look and see that we are, that there's a whole lot more growing and a whole lot more connecting and building a relationship with you that we need to do. So help us, Father. We're glad to be a part of the household of faith, and we're glad to be a part of the kingdom. But we realize, too, Father, that we've got growing to do. Help us to continue to grow, that we might be more of what you would have us to be. Make us more and more special to you by becoming more and more of what we need to be. Bless us in the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 My Lord. There may be someone here who has not said yes to the Lord yet. Someone has thought about it often. And somehow you're looking for the right time. Maybe the right situation. Maybe the right crowd. Maybe the large crowd. Or maybe the crowd that's made up of just a few. Don't know what you might be looking for, but it doesn't matter about the crowd because it's not about the crowd. You're here. Jesus is here. He's got his arms open waiting for you. Doesn't matter what somebody may think. Somebody who might say, yeah, he's saying that or she's saying that, but they're, it's not real. Well, don't worry about what anybody else may think or say. Think about what the Lord is saying to you. He's saying, come on. He's saying, I've been waiting for you all of your life. You may think, well, I'm going to get myself right, and when I do, when I become all I need to be, I'm going to come forth and let the world know I've decided to give myself over to Jesus. But Jesus isn't waiting for you to get right. He's not looking for you to become perfect. He wants you to come just as you are. He can mold you and make you into somebody special. He can change you in ways that you cannot change yourself. He can lift you to a whole new spiritual level. But you got to put yourself in his hands. You've got to recognize that you're not able to do it all by yourself and recognize that God can. He's got his arms wide open, wide open. Why not now? Or maybe now there's somebody who's already said yes to the Lord, but you said it in another place, and you have not been able to get to that place and fulfill all the promises that you made to the Lord. Some of your talents and some of the gifts he's given you, some of the ways you said you would use them for him. But you know what? Those gifts that God gave to you, he could have you or would have you to use them maybe in this place. To help us who are here to become stronger. Help us who are here to become more of what he would have us to be. He's blessed you with gifts and talents and abilities that we need here. Is there someone who wants to say yes and join us, become a part of this family? You've already given yourself to the Lord. But if you feel good here, maybe this is the day you should say yes to the Lord and become a part of First Mount Olive. My Lord. God bless you all. God bless you. Bless you.